This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Keeping Up with the Kafashians, the place where the threads of medical expertise weave into the fabric of family life. I'm Afif, a neonatologist deeply intrigued by the earliest stages of life and how our beginnings shape us.
And I'm Anne, an obstetric anesthesiologist with a heart firmly rooted in maternal health and well-being. My passion lies in ensuring safety and comfort during one of life's most remarkable journeys, childbirth.
Together, we navigate the intricate journey of professional practice and personal experience, especially as it pertains to parenting, health, and the profound experience of raising children.
Each episode, we invite you into conversations that bridge the gap between science and the living room, sharing insights from our fields, stories from our lives, and discussions that connect with everyone, from healthcare professionals to parents and those interested in the marvels of human development.
We're here to explore, to question, and to celebrate the incredible journey of life, from the first heartbeat to the first steps and beyond. Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kafashians.
Let's begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Keeping Up with the Kafashians. Thank you so much for your continued listenership, despite Anne's ramblings.
Yeah, I was a bit rambly last time.
No, I think you did a very good episode.
No, I listened to the episode and I was just like in the car, you know, I kind of low grumbling level of frustration at all times. Yeah. And I was like, Anne, form a sentence, for the love of God, form a sentence.
Oh, and by the way, I keep asking you to rate the podcast, forgetting to rate the podcast. And to all our listeners, I know you have subscribed and paid to listen to us, so thank you so much. We're going to ask for one more little favor. If you could give us a 5-star rating and maybe a review or two, that would really, really help us reach more people and entice more people to listen to us.
Maybe I'm holding off on my 5-star review until I'm convinced that we're worth 5 stars. Maybe I'm a really tough grader.
Oh my God. I think if we weren't behind the paywall, we'd be the most popular podcast in the country.
I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah, the reels keep doing really, really well. That's something. Anyway, this week is a very special week because it's the week full of birthdays.
Birthday week.
We're all Tauruses, with the exception of the male child and the dog. It leads to a very interesting conversation.
We have three birthdays in a week.
And by the way, listeners, this is the only week of the whole year where Anne is not a cougar and we're the same age.
A cougar.
Yeah.
That's a bit much now.
I know. So
I know you are immature, but you're only 51 weeks younger than me.
By the way,
doesn't make me a cougar.
You misaged me last week.
I know. I aged you.
You said I was 46 turning 47. I'm actually 45. Well, now I'm 46.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd love me to be the same age as you, but I'm much younger. And, you know.
Even if you were 10 years older than me, Afif, you would still actually be more immature in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, this week we're the same age for 1 week in a year and Anne is no longer a cougar.
I think you need to Google that one. Look that one up on Urban Dictionary. It's not Gen Z enough, you see, so you don't really know what it means.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of slagging about that.
Oh, Gen did you? Z-era. Good. Thank God. I stopped getting the weird text messages. So that was why.
Yeah, it was a very
don't start
enlightening moment, I was going to say. Yeah.
Thank God.
And sort of
who was responsible for that enlightening moment? Because I'm going to actually make sure that they keep in touch with you.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It'll come back when I feel up to it again. Anyway, so this week's episode of the Baby Tribe podcast, I absolutely loved because we have our little friend.
Little friend. That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, her company's called Little Roo. That's why I said
we've our friend from Little Roo.
Our friend from Little Roo. Yeah. We're the Roo crew.
We're the Roo crew. Hey, Karen.
So, yeah, we talked about baby massage and I really loved our conversation because myself and Katie, first of all, talked about a study that
Karen. Oh, yourself and Katie talked about. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah,
you know my co-host, Katie? Yeah,
I do know her. I know her well, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
So my co-host, Katie, where we talked about a study where we demonstrated that babies that undergo parent-led massage over the first 4 months have different brain electrical activity to babies where there is no parent-led massage. And those electrical brain patterns are more conducive to better and longer sleep, although there was no difference in the actual sleep behavior between the two babies, but there was the brain signals.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had enough numbers to demonstrate a difference of sleep or maybe enough duration. And that made me think about the importance between the mother and baby connection, that, you know, if mother or dad or a parent delivers this continuous touch in the form of baby massage, that can actually lead to changes in the baby's brain, which I find absolutely fascinating. And then when me and you were having the conversation to try and decide what me and you were going to chat about on today's episode, you gave me a few snippets of information that kind of blew my mind.
In terms of like mother-offspring link, you know, there's such a profound biological link in pregnancy, but also it's becoming more and more acknowledged that there's this cross-communication and this transfer of actual cells. And I don't mean just like immune tolerance and stuff. I mean like in you, Afif, you have some of your mother's cells.
Wow.
Sequestered into different parts, not just like half her DNA. That's different. Okay. Some of her actual cells sequestered into different parts of your body, brain, heart, lungs, spleen. And I have.
Still.
Yes, they think still for decades and decades anyway. And then when I had our first child, some but not all of that maternal cells were kind of replaced by our daughter's cells in me.
So hang on a second. So you had some cells from your mom in your body, in your brain, in your heart, in your lungs and elsewhere. But once you have a child,
some of them are moved away. So you
some of the child cells say to your mom's cells, get out of here.
Out of town. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's like an accumulation of other people's cells within mothers who have a few pregnancies, like because you're accumulating these little, they're called microchimerisms. So chimera was a Greek, is from Greek mythology. And it's those animals in Greek mythology that are like part lion, part dragon, part goat, you know, and it's combined into one animal.
Okay.
So it means like of multiple animals.
Okay.
Okay. So microchimerism means that I'm mainly Anne Doherty, but I also have cells from these other people within me, which I think is pretty amazing. There was a paper that came out in like 2012 and it showed, it was looking at kind of the maternal tolerance of this genetically different person inside of her. And I've always been fascinated by that anyway. And it showed that like the mother has this kind of long-term supply of these immune cells that don't go away after pregnancy, that remember that fetus. So therefore, when you have a baby with the same partner the next time, there's nearly like a structure, a lattice work or prep work done for immune tolerance for the next baby. And that makes loads of sense because sometimes, as we said, like if miscarriages are immune based, if you manage to have a successful pregnancy, it's nearly easier the next time because your body has learned so much information and built that structure of tolerance, right? But then they realized that these cells were actually persisting for like decades. And normally the immune tolerance in these cells would go away unless you have a constant exposure to a low level of what triggers them to be in there in the first place. So they didn't know how. And then they realized that children maintain a small supply of cells transferred from their mothers during pregnancy. Maternal microchimeric cells.
So you have given cells to our two kids.
Yes, they have some of me in them. And that is why.
Do they have any of me in them?
They have you in their DNA.
Yeah, but not cells.
No, they also have my mitochondria. They don't have any of yours.
I feel left out.
I know, I'm sorry.
Go on.
But it's true. But it explains as well why generally a solid organ transplant from a mother who's matched to their to the offspring tends to be better tolerated than a matched organ from a dad. Because again, that microchimerism already exists. So there's already that prep work done for immune tolerance. And then recently, there was another kind of discovery. So the fetal cells remain in the mother's body. So it's not just the memory in the immune system that remains. It's the fetal cells that also remain in the mother's body. And there were studies showing that like mothers who've had sons, you can find male cells, okay? So like cells with XY chromosomes in their body. One woman had, it was 27 years since she had her last son, and she still had some of his male cells floating around, stem cells floating around in her body, in her bloodstream. They're with us for life. They never go. And women are forever changed on the most fundamental level by pregnancy. I just think it's wild. And then the other thing I was looking into, and it was looking at kind of the immune components in rheumatoid arthritis, in systemic sclerosis, and in preeclampsia. And these are all kind of immune diseases with significant immune contributions into their cause. And this all plays a part in it. This all plays a part in it. So I've had children, so my risk of rheumatoid arthritis is immediately lower because I've had children as a woman, because of that immune tolerance and that different kind of learning that my immune system has. So I just think it's cracked. It's wild.
It's crazy how much we are learning about the connection between mother and children. And we still don't know fully what those cells do. Sure, we don't.
No, but a lot of them are stem cells. So I think we need to figure out what their purpose is. I think predominantly they're probably there for immune learning. But yeah, and it's an active exchange between fetus and mother.
I just feel that, why are the dads left out of this whole
thing? I knew you were going to feel that way. And you know what myself and Karen were actually talking about the other day at Little Roo? I was doing an education session on peripartum pain relief and kind of pharmacological and non-pharmacological. But she was saying how she had recently done a dad and baby massage. And I said, you would have loved that with our kids. You would have absolutely adored it.
Yeah.
Because, and then we got to thinking, like, the dads go through so much, because in many ways, like, they lose their wife for a while because she's so focused on being a mother and so consumed by the physicality of everything that has happened to her.
I still think I'm competing with my son anyway.
I know you did, but you're just a competitive person.
Do you remember the line that I still cannot actually...
You'll never get over that one, though.
Yeah, he was like one day, Mom, and he looks gazingly into her eyes, it's beautiful to love you.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's even better because he couldn't speak properly
yet. It's beautiful to love
you. Beautiful to love you.
And I was like, I am never going to match that or come even close.
He's just...
What a zinger.
Oh, he's just the warmest, snuggliest,
I've tried the lines a couple of times and they doesn't work. No. Yeah, Mom.
No, we have a different relationship, but that's appropriate, Afif. That is appropriate.
It is beautiful to love you.
Yeah, that's good. I'm so glad you feel that way. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's but yeah, no, talking to Karen, you know, I think having some kind of, you know, there's birth trauma for mum, which is absolutely appropriate. And those kind of birth experience groups and birthing support groups, that's really appropriate. But I feel like there needs to be some kind of new dad birthing support groups.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't know if they exist.
I agree. Yeah,
I'm sure they do. People can tell us if they do.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really helpful because it's such a massive change and they don't necessarily have access to their best friend and their wife or partner to the same degree anymore during that phase, because she's so consumed by trying to be everything to this child. So I just think that that's probably a gap that needs to be filled.
Because we do go through traumas. And do you remember when...
We never fought properly until we had children and then we murdered each other for a while.
Do you remember the trauma that I thought I went through the day I came to pick you and Maggie up from the hospital after you've been up all night with Maggie, who wasn't feeding, who wasn't latching, and I had a full night's sleep...
After a C-section,
yeah. And I had a full night's sleep at home and I came into the room to you and I was like, Anne, I've had the worst morning, like the worst morning. I was rushing to come and pick you up and I tried to open the door and the door handle came out with my hand and I had to get into the car from the other side to try and come and get to you. Like, I had the worst morning and you were just looking at me going,
Do you mind getting me more painkillers from the nurse, please?
Really?
My surgical incision is hurting.
I was like, I'm sorry, I don't think you appreciate the trauma that I went through this morning trying to get to you.
I remember I was sitting there and my milk had come in and I was just like soaked in milk trying to get this child to latch and in so much pain. And you were like, I had the worst morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, read the room, dude. Read the room.
Anyway, we hope that you enjoyed this episode and totally my mind is blown about this because I totally had no idea until you told me that that's what you were going to talk about. And I said, wow, I can't wait to listen to this. And I'm sure our listeners have found this very useful. So thank you so much for listening. We really love having you here. And please rate us and give us a lovely review because it'll convince Anne to keep doing this. I feel like I'm losing.
It'll convince Anne to actually jump on the bandwagon and give us a review too.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.